Another cold one there for Scott Manzi, right to the face.
No, missed me this time. It went on the ground.
Oh, okay. You were prepared. Well, that's what
happened. Out of the way.
I saw you pull up a craft beer, and I was like, I'm actually going to see this one through. I'm going to watch where this one goes because I haven't brought craft beers pop.
I brought a Zamboni with me, too, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Clean it up, man. Well, hey, we're another cold beer in. We're another episode in to the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi. I'm Alex Turco. We're back better than ever, I hope. I hope you think so, too. But I just got to start this show off by saying screw the NBA, and I want to say we're different than screw, but screw the NBA. I was seeing the field so clearly for a little bit, Scott. I was every single pick. I kid you not. Parlays, teasers, straight
back
up,
down to
over-unders. It couldn't end. I had a two-week stretch where I couldn't miss. I was winning every bet. I really was. I'd miss like a bet here and there, but I had enough that offset it. And now that they've gone into the playoffs, I am so ice mule, cold as ice, a beer that you pull straight out of an ice mule cooler cold. I mean, it's frosty. It's an absolute blizzard in my betting world. And I think I'm going to take like a week break. I say that might last like 10 hours.
Well, the good news is you take a week break and you're basically rolling right into the proposed start of college football, which we're just over a week away from. And while I'm not sure whether or not we'll be able to watch any of these games to start the season, you will be able to bet on them. I can guarantee that. And you already told us your pick for the Southern Miss South Alabama opener. The Golden Eagles and the points, I believe.
Golden Eagles, baby. Let's roll. And they are going to stomp them. It's not even going to be close. I'm telling you right now. Give the points. You can have them. Name your number. Golden Eagles all day.
You just need to get back into the comfort zone, and that is football betting, which is where you feel most at home.
I totally agree. But I thought to myself for a two-week stretch that maybe the NBA is where the money's to be made.
Well, you certainly have more opportunities. No doubt about that.
Yeah, that's
for sure. You haven't dipped back into the baseball, have you? I mean, I think you did it right at the beginning, right? And that was it?
I did at the beginning, and just like you, you got quickly, I don't want to say tired of, because I still flip on baseball pretty much every night to flip back and forth with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But you got tired of NBA like a week into it. I turned on MLB, watched each game before the NBA started, the day the NBA started. Haven't watched a full MLB game since. So if you don't mind, actually, give me a rundown on some MLB. I mean, I don't. Tell me.
Funny you should ask, Alex, because we're basically.
I see you in your Orioles outfit. So.
I am. And then that's a little tease for what's coming up. Number one, shout out to former podcast partner and longtime friend, broadcast extraordinaire Richard Miller, who now works for the. I'm blanking on
Showtime
Sports Cards and Collectibles. Yes, I went to his shop, saw him last weekend, and this is a hat from him. So he hooked me up with this one. So pretty
cool.
I thought that was a new hat, and I'm fired up to be donning it here as I also wear my Cal Ripken Jr. 21-31, the record, the Iron Man shirt here tonight, because guess what it is? It is Cal's 60th birthday here on the 24th of August as we record this.
Happy birthday, Cal, a Bulls kid.
No. You're thinking of Chipper. Cal's not from Florida. Not from Florida at all.
Edit that out. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Not going to edit that.
Cal Ripken, Chipper Jones.
They both play third base.
This is a three beer kind of night. Let me get through this. You talk, I'll listen.
Okay.
I might laugh here and there, but I'll just drink.
Well, we are more or less, we're pushing the halfway point of the season here. Most teams are hovering right around the 30 games in the book. And as we know, they're playing 60 this year. So we're entering the final stretch of this season already, right? It feels like it just started. But for those that are always wanted baseball to be a little bit shorter, well, now's the time to lock back in because we have some interesting races and scenarios heading down over the course of the last month. I wanted to bring up three surprises for you. Three is a baseball number, Alex, and three surprises leading off with my Baltimore Orioles, who, as it stands today, a team that no one gave a lick of hope to, but they are 500, 14-14 on the season, entering Monday night. And as it stands right now, are tied for the final playoff spot in the expanded playoffs this year.
Who are they tied with?
Tied with division rival, the Toronto Blue Jays. So this is fascinating to see how things are playing out in just the fact, actually, Toronto won earlier today. So live update, they beat the Rays, so they are a half game up on Baltimore as it stands right now. So the Orioles out of the playoff picture with the night off on Monday. But this is what we talked about at the beginning, right, Alex? This is just one example, and it's one that hits home for me with the Orioles. But we talked about how this year had the potential, due to the shortened season to the expanded playoff format, to be truly an anybody can compete type of year. And the Baltimore Orioles, who probably had maybe the lowest, if not the second lowest, World Series or playoff odds going into the season.
It was second behind the Pirates, yeah.
Are right there with a month to play.
That's awesome. I mean, how fun is that? The sprint is what we called it in the beginning. The shortened season, the higher intensity, each game means more. It made it exciting. It made it fun. The idea of it for me, as you heard, I haven't watched it religiously, sounded exciting, but now's when it gets fun because these teams are starting to, you know, it's pinching down, it's bottlenecking into that final spot. So it sounds like it's time for me to tune back in, huh?
Not to your Pirates, unfortunately.
No, that was my issue. I couldn't even.
In case you haven't seen
game.
The standings,
they've won three straight, though, Scott.
To get their win percentage up to 292, so that is.
And thank you very much.
Yeah. So they still have the lowest winning percentage in Major League Baseball, despite the fact that they have a three-game winning streak and they are in the cellar of the Central, which is my second surprise, Alex. So a great segue for you there. You didn't even know this. You're not looking at the rundown. You don't know what's coming up next. The NL Central, I thought, was going to be the most complete competitive division from top to bottom, not counting the Pirates, really. But I figured
Barely even played.
I know.
The cards were coronavirus heavy all season long, it felt
like. And Yadier Molina posts a picture on Instagram yesterday of him in a group of all people touching each other saying, F COVID. So, you know, good sign.
Well, he's a huge... I don't mean to derail us, but I tend to do that. I heard he's a huge strip club guy, like public knowledge strip club guy.
Well, he looks like he doesn't take showers and things like that. So yeah sure, that makes sense. Like he's one of the dirtiest looking.
I guarantee.
Like he's just grimy.
The reason COVID.
Oh yeah, he brought it
in that club.
Well, I mean, the Cardinals. It was because of a strip club, so I'm sure he was leading the way as a captain.
Perfect.
You know, I mean, he was just setting a good example for the rest of the team. But yeah, as if I needed another reason to root against the Cardinals this year, but them, you know, like potentially derailing Major League Baseball. That is part of it. But I thought for sure there was going to be about four playoff contending teams in that division. And that's not to say that there aren't. But just right now, it's been underwhelming. The Cubs are running away with the division. They look very good, like one of the best teams in baseball under the leadership of new manager David Ross. They have some energy, is kind of shot in the arm, if you will, to that club. But the Cardinals, they're a big question mark because, like you said, they haven't played much. They're 9-8, so they've played basically like 10 less games than everybody else. The Reds and the Brewers are tied with the same record. They're both 11-15, four games under 500, starting a three-game series against each other on this Monday night. And just not the type of division, one that you and I follow pretty closely, with you being a Pirates fan and me being a side Reds fan, having lived there for 4 years. But just not the – I thought this was going to be dogfights night in, night out, like teams – potentially, I mean, we could see a scenario where honestly four teams from one division can make the playoffs this year. That's how crazy it goes. But it just doesn't feel like that right now. And that's kind of a surprise to me.
It's news to me. Mainly because the Reds were a young team that a lot of people were picking. And I haven't followed them at all because the Cubs have run away with the division. Like you said, the Cards have barely played, as mentioned. And then the Brewers, they have a great roster. I'm surprised that they were not able to string together more wins than they did.
Yeah, it's both of those teams are more talented than their record would indicate. And they're just sort of
Reds
both scuffling. Yeah, and they're both kind of scuffling along right now. And I don't know the Brewers, you've got to feel more confident in just because they've been there, right? They made the playoffs recently. They have an MVP. Well, the Reds have a former MVP on their roster too, but much further removed in Joey Votto. But this Brewers team has been relevant recently, where the Reds, they're still trying to shake that bit of a losing culture that has seeped in over the last 8 years, and it seems to still be there as of now. So tough times up in Cincinnati again, and not just if your last name's Brenneman. The last surprise for me is that we're staring in this season of expanded playoffs and a sprint. We are staring at another lost season for the best player in the game. Mike Trout and the LA Angels, 9-20 in last place in the AL West. And has there ever been a superstar? Like, imagine if LeBron James never made the playoffs. Like, just never made the playoffs.
I mean can you imagine? A lot of people haven't even seen. I've only seen Mike Trout play 3-4 games ever because he's never on TV.
Because you don't put the Angels on the TV because they're not any good.
Right. No, they're terrible. That's what I'm saying. What a crime. What a freaking crime it is that Mike Trout, the guy that is clearly the best. I mean, him and Bryce Harper came in right at the same time, and everyone's like, you know, who's going to rise to the top? And Mike Trout has clearly been better, and Bryce Harper still gets all the glory. But that's only because you see him on TV. He's in Philly. He's in the Nationals. I mean,
he's marketable.
He's a goat. With the contract that he's what?
He's just more marketable. I mean, yeah. Mike Trout is just a dude. I mean, he's a really good player, but he's a
big-ass linebacker, monster player.
If Mike Trout and Christian McCaffrey walked into the room with you right now, would you be able to tell them apart?
Yeah, Mike Trout's bigger.
That's probably true.
He's yoked. No, here's the thing, though.
He
gets more publicity when he goes to a Philadelphia Eagles game.
Yeah, you're right. When they're not in the playoffs.
When he's not. Good point. He's not in the playoffs, so he gets to go enjoy some hometown Eagles.
Yeah, early October Eagles football before it gets too cold.
And they're always like, oh, Mike Trout, you may have heard of him. He plays baseball. He's really good.
He's occasionally on Subway commercials.
Yeah. Every once in a while. He needs his star to get out of, I mean, he's in California. He's near a big market. He can make it
happen. He's in a big market.
They're not known historically to be. They've had flashes in the pan. Yeah. But they're not.
But I mean, the Angels are. It's still LA. With the Clippers. I mean, it's like that.
If he was a Giant, he'd be so much. San Fran Giant. It'd be so much bigger. I'm not saying he needs to be a Dodger.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's such a shame because he just signed that huge contract too. Yeah. So we're screwed. We'll never see him. I'll never know how good he actually was. I'll just see his stats like I do now, where I'll turn on SportsCenter and go, oh yeah, Mike Trout. He's a badass.
Like, we laugh at the whole like LeBron coaches whatever team he's on. LeBron's actually the GM and controls all the stuff. Is it time for Mike Trout to start like trying to run the Angels? Like they have to have a better chance.
It's not his game, though. He's kind of quiet and just complies.
I would just like to see the guy, you know, in a playoff series at some point in his career.
The most prime time he gets is the All-Star Week.
That's and then you don't see him for the rest of the year because
you really don't. It sounds stupid that I would sit here and say, I mean, it sounds like I don't follow baseball at all when I tell you I've seen him 4 or 5 times. I really haven't. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know very well who Mike Trout is. I haven't seen him play.
I've seen him play in person. I saw him play in person in 2016. Saw him in Chicago against the Cubs, and it was cool. But, like, nobody was focused on Mike Trout because that was the year that the Cubs won the World Series. So yeah. Everybody was kind of more worried about that at the time. And then, funnily enough, his manager now is the manager of the Cubs then. But Joe Maddon isn't working any of his Joe Maddon magic so far out in Anaheim. It has been more of the same with the Angels.
Well, you know what the real shame is? I don't want to say it's too late, but it's almost too late to where it's like, you know what? We do have the best player in baseball. Maybe we need to do everything we can to surround him and trade and do what we can to surround him. I mean, he's getting older. I'm not saying he's old, but he is one injury away from maybe not recovering the way he could have in the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
That's just a part of sports. If they go out of their way to make everything perfect to the best of their ability around him, pitching, bullpen, hitters, you know, you name it, veterans, whatever they got to do, it might still be the downslope of his career. He hadn't hit it yet, but it might not be far away now.
It just feels like they haven't done anything. Like, they signed Albert Pujols, but that was before Trout was even there, to that 300-year contract. And then, like, they've done, like, a couple of smaller things. Like, they signed – but it just feels like they signed castoffs. It's like, well, this guy was known a couple of years ago, so we'll bring him in here.
Just a name.
But it's like, that's not going to work. I mean, that's just not going to work. But, I don't know, shame for that. Three teams – that are contenders, maybe surprise contenders. But I'll tell you, on this program, two of these names shouldn't be a surprise because we told you about them. First up, the Oakland Athletics.
That was Scott Manzi's pick right there, wasn't it?
My World Series pick. They are 20-9. They have the best record in the American League with a 690 win percentage. That's nice. And they are a complete package, it looks like. Everything I feel like I said at the beginning of the year is kind of holding true. But even more so is the fact that they're a team that really does a nice job of rallying late in games too. So they're never out of it. And I'm impressed by their ability to be able
I'm
to do that.
I'm over here cracking up because is Chris Sale still pitching real well for him?
Believe it or not.
I'm over here dying laughing like, wait a minute, didn't I say Chris Sale plays for them?
Despite getting nothing from Sale this year, they're still pretty good. It's amazing.
And I thought he was their ace.
Yeah.
And that's good for them. Good
well,
for
Chris
them.
Sale, despite not having thrown a pitch, might be the best pitcher for the Boston Red Sox this year. But that's a discussion for a different day. Yep. But the A's look good. They look like real contenders. And, oh my, things could be very interesting out west come playoff time, because the second surprise team, Colin McQuillan's San Diego Padres.
Young
18
squad.
And 12. They are four games out of first place in the NL West because the Dodgers are an absolute wagon. But the Padres are not just young, not just talented, but I'm not sure anyone has talked about a team in baseball more than the Padres this past week, thanks to not
the
long after we logged off here.
Slam.
Not long after we logged off last Monday night, Fernando Tatis Jr. makes the headlines for his 3-0 pitch grand slam up big late in the game. And
let me just
say, a whole nother debate on that.
Yeah, without getting into it, since it happened a week ago, let's just summarize it as this. There's a time and a place for, I mean, mainly golf and baseball is your place for these kind of old unwritten rules. But some of these guys are a bunch of, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, a bunch of bitches. I mean, just come on. I don't know what it
They're
is.
Bitches. You can go with that. Well, we'll let you go. Yeah that works. I mean, it gets the job done.
This is something that this guy was, they even have analytics on it, but I don't know him well enough to repeat him. But I read something essentially where he's swinging on a 3-0 count, you know, like that's the unwritten rule, and the bases are loaded. I mean, If you want the game to speed up, swinging is better than taking a walk.
Yeah, right.
So
that's anyway. Why this is a pro dingers podcast, and we'll remain that way.
Yeah, dingers all day.
Dingers all day. Chicks dig the long ball, man. Last time I checked, Fernando Tatis Jr. wasn't married. He's trying to find somebody out there, and he just heard the chicks dig the long ball.
I love it.
So the Padres.
Why would you not? If you can swing it, swing it.
I know. Tell you what, if I could hit a freaking grand slam. You bet your ass I'm trying to hit a grand slam. That's awesome.
Yeah, you don't always have opportunities to hit a grand slam.
No, very rarely do you. Very rarely. But the Padres are fun. And this season, like we said at the beginning of the year, feels like it shapes up perfectly for the young team that can get hot and run with some of this and not have to deal with the kind of the long-natured version of the season in which generally a more seasoned, experienced team is going to win out in the long run. So keep your eye on the Padres as they keep things interesting out on the West Coast. And then the last surprise team, not so much a surprise, I guess, if you were looking at some of the projections for teams that might be good this year, but a team who's in the playoff right now, and there are two games out of first in their division, the AL Central. The Chicago White Sox, who have been seemingly rebuilding since they won the World Series in 2005.
Chris Sale's own.
Yes. Chris Sale also not helping the White Sox this year. But they are another young, talented team that feels like almost the Padres of the AL, right? Like a team that might have been a year away in a normal season, but this year is shaping up really well for them to stay hot and ride kind of this short wave season into the playoffs. So I'm excited. All three of those teams I'm going to have my eye on for the rest of the way. Who are you watching? Come on, give me one team.
Well, I'm going to have to tune into the A's. That's I really mean that. I haven't watched them at all this. I've been watching a lot of Rays baseball just because it's always on.
There you go. That's a good pick because they're in first place in the AL East. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, I saw the other night when, well, naturally I was drawn to the Glasnow-Garrett Cole matchup for...
Pirates Inter-Squad, right? Wasn't that what it was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we gave up everyone. I mean, it was our A team that we should still have under contract right now, playing in different uniforms all over the damn...
Yeah, that was a 2000. That was like a 2017 split squad right there in Bradenton, and these days those guys are front running. You know, they're leading staffs for two of the best teams in the AL.
Oh, I know. We could go through the list. It's devastating.
That's brutal.
Me and my cousin text about it all the time. It's just I actually hear a lot about my Pirate stuff through my cousin Noah, frequent listener of the pod as well. So shout out to him. But it's very frustrating. So not to harp on that, I have been watching a lot of Rays lately.
Okay, yeah. Well, good team to watch. Don't like the broadcast duo, but...
No, they're dry.
Yeah, they're just boring.
Yeah, but the Yankees, I mean, I'll tell you, I've grown up hating the Yankees my whole life. I really like watching them this year.
Well, when they're healthy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
When I don't know healthy. What are they giving those guys to eat or for supplements or whatever that is
everyone is
deteriorating every single body? Like, there's something fundamentally wrong. You don't get that unlucky multiple years in a row.
Every year.
No, yeah. that's just not possible. Like, that's something's wrong with their training or their strength training or their, I don't know. I feel like I should go, I know some people in the biz, I should go ask some questions. But
you probably should. Well, also, I mean, just to go back to who I'm watching, it is more fun. It's disappointing that the Red Sox stink this year.
I have no problems with that.
You hate the Red Sox?
Well, I dislike the Yankees and the Red Sox. Division rivals. I mean,
I've always rooted for the Red Sox because I've always hated the Yankees that much.
Oh, I did that pre-04 World Series, but then like the Red Sox became more annoying.
I love that.
Red Sox are worse than the Yankees now.
I love that team, the Red Sox.
Oh, that 04 team was a blast.
Yeah.
But the Yankees haven't won anything in over a decade, and the Red Sox just keep pulling World Series out of their ass every, like, three, 4 years.
Well, the Yankees still every year think they're that team so you can't.
But it's fun because they think they're that team, and then they get knocked out of the playoffs, and then you're just like, what happened? I thought, like, you guys were destined to add another ring. I don't understand.
Yeah. Something about those pinstripes. I need them to be good.
All right, so I'm going to stay with the A's as my World Series pick. And I'm going to go, how about all West Coast A's Dodgers for a midseason World Series pick right now? Do you want to make one, or you want to just cede the floor to me and let me have it?
Yeah, no, I like what you did there.
Just ride the coattails? Ride the coattails? Yeah. Hey, I'm excited for the second half of the year.
I think the Cubs are really
they're good too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've only followed their box score. So
doesn't this feel like this is setting up perfectly for the Dodgers to go to the World Series and lose again? Like, it's just one of those deals where it's like, okay, the Astros are out of the way. We know it. They're cheaters. Like, they're in the playoff picture. They're going to make it. But like, no one thinks that the Astros are
they're
as good
not
as
the
they've
same
been.
Team this year. Yeah. Right. No.
So the Dodgers are unquestionably one of the two or three best teams in baseball, I would say, especially talent-wise. But it just feels like because this year's a fluke, you're going to end up with, you know, they're going to get knocked out of the world, out of the playoffs by, you know, the Padres or the Diamondbacks or somebody. It's going to be like, these poor Dodgers, you know? Like, I don't normally feel bad for an LA team.
And someone who is the highest payroll in the league. I mean,
right. But
can only feel so bad for them.
They're a fun team. I like the watching the Dodgers play. I have no beef with the Dodgers. I don't have
I don't have a beef with them. Yeah. I mean, Matthew Kelly's kind of a prick.
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly, the pitcher.
Yeah. No, he's a
he's
super
hurt
prick.
Right now, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, and suspend whatever and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I thought I was the only one not team Joe Kelly after that whole thing went down. I was like, listen, I'm not against what he did per se. It's just like he sucks.
Yeah.
And like
he did is I understand why he did it.
He's hitting dudes because he literally can't throw strikes. Like, he's not trying to hit guys. He's hitting dudes because he's terrible at pitching. Like, the same guy knocked a window out of his house during the quarantine while he was throwing in his yard. Like, he's just not good. And then all of a sudden, like, throws a couple pouty faces, and everybody's like, our hero. We didn't know we deserved him. And it's like, pick a better hero.
I was actually team Astros during that because I was like, you know, he's over there throwing it Bergman, was it? I mean,
Bregman and Bregman. Correa and
yeah,
or he strikes out Correa to end the game after, you know, throwing a ton of pitches outside the zone again.
I wish someone charged him and beat his ass.
Oh, that'd have been great.
Because
he's
been great. A small guy. I mean, like skinny, lanky type guy.
Hey, I'm all for the pitcher winning a fight like Nolan Ryan style, you know, on Robin Ventura. Like, that's a classic. But Joe Kelly's not winning any fights.
No way. No. So, yeah, I guess we're on the same page. We never talked about that when it happened, actually.
He'd be like, oh, don't break my glasses.
Oh, he's a guy that immediately would go fetal position till his team broke.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. He'd throw his glove for sure, too. He'd hit his glove.
I'm more bark than bite. I'm freely going to admit that, but I'm also not trying to pick many fights. I mean, and I'm not out there acting like a tough guy.
Yeah, you just kind of gotta know who you are, pick your battles, and he's a mouthy little bastard.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the A's guy that charged the coach that didn't want any of what he had going on, bigger fan of that dude.
The A's guy that charged the coach?
Yeah, they were that was like 2 weeks ago. They were talking smack back and forth on first base. And the coach is out there like, you want some of this? And so he goes after him. The coach is like, whoa, defend me.
And the two players like stood right in front of him right away. That guy was coming for blood. The little stout guy on first.
Yeah. He's one of their outfielders. Name? He's got a Spanish name.
Oh,
I'm blanking on it now, but he was great.
Yeah, he was great. He was coming for blood like that. Yeah. That would have been bad.
Why are we not rooting for that guy? Why are we rooting for Joe Kelly? That guy actually tried to legitimately fight. Like, me throwing a baseball at you, it's like me throwing a punch when your back's turned. Like, there's nothing you can do to defend yourself if I'm throwing a baseball at you.
Yeah.
But if
at
like we're 90 going
miles an hour.
Yeah, if we're gonna go and raise the Dukes and actually that's a fair fight. And that guy, he was ready to dish it out. Oh, all right. Enough on that. Baseball, second half of the season upcoming.
That was a lot of baseball talk. Yeah, that was more baseball talk than we probably can take like 3 weeks off now.
Pretty much until like pennant races. Can you even call them pennant races anymore, I guess? I mean, when eight teams make the playoffs, I guess it doesn't really. We'll get into it when we get a little closer.
The pennant. How fun is that?
Well, the pennant's technically not. It's not till it references who wins the league. So technically, you don't even win the pennant anymore
Conference.
In the regular season.
ALNL, yeah.
Man, you got to go to timeout for that one. If your dad was here, he'd have a conniption right now.
Oh, he would rip me.
Yeah, as Alex one time when we were kids said, how many points do we have when we were playing softball? And Alex's dad let him have it.
Yeah.
There aren't any points in baseball.
Some colorful language.
Yeah. Alex, he was crying into his
glove. I learned quickly. Also, if I ever asked him if I wanted to go I can't remember. It was either not throw the baseball. It was something, whatever. It was something. I used to get, he was a big baseball guy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that generation. That generation. But, hey, I'm excited for the second half of the season, and hopefully you all are as well.
Get me off this.
Hey, listen, I got a little football thing here, but it's part of our Ice Meal Coolers Cold as Ice segment of the day. We're coming to you live again from, well, not exactly live to tape, from our mobile Ice Mule Coolers studios. Alex, my power went out last Wednesday. We've had a lot of storms in the area lately, some violent storms. Apparently, there's this big low-pressure system that keeps sweeping in from the northwest that is what's causing these violent thunderstorms. And with that, my power has actually gone out twice in the last 2 weeks. That's more than it has gone out the entire time I've lived here prior to this, the 3 years. But it went out last Wednesday. Things were hot, we'll say, by the end of the evening in my apartment. But you know what wasn't hot? Had a couple of cold ones stashed in the ice mule cooler for an emergency. It was like break glass in case. This was unroll cooler in case of emergency. And I had some cold ones. Coldest aspect of the apartment on Wednesday night was the cold ones in the ice mule cooler.
You know what? Those ice mule coolers are big enough too, the size we have, to where you probably should have just dipped your feet in there too. Got a little, you know, cool the temperature a bit.
Little redneck tub or pool. Yeah. I like that.
Next time it happens, it probably will with the storms we've been having.
Fingers crossed it doesn't happen again, but I know at least I've got a plan for the next time if and when it does happen. But you can also get your emergency refrigerator in case your power goes out. Get an ice meal cooler. You can save 15% at checkout if you use the promo code SportsBar15 at checkout for 15% off. That is Ice Mule Coolers. Today's Cold as Ice segment, Alex, this is a rare sequel, if you will, a sequel to a segment we brought up last week, and it has to do with the Associated Press top 25 in college football. We had a segment on here last week talking about college polls, college football preseason polls, and we said, is this it? Like, should this be a reckoning for preseason polls with the uncertainty and the craziness in college football this year? We know that there are two major leagues not even playing this fall. How about this? The AP Top 25 comes out on Monday, and they put the teams that aren't playing in it, Alex.
I mean, that's why we wrote them off last week. That's literally why we said
there are nine teams.
Polls the axe.
There are nine teams in the AP Top 25 that are not going to play a game this fall. What happens week two? Do they keep those
Everyone
teams
drops
in
out
there?
Or what?
I don't. Somebody made a joke today. They're like, can't wait to hear when the first playoff committee, you know, meeting starts in early November, and we're talking about whether or not 0-0 Ohio State's resume is good enough to potentially be included. I mean, what are we doing here?
My cousin Noah tweeted at us at the Sports Bar account and said they should pull a little rope-a-dope on everyone and just do an AP top 25 of all the teams that aren't participating this year. Just rank them all the teams that aren't even playing. I mean, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And I was kind of excited in a weird way because I root for chaos, because I think anybody who's actually a college football fan, a true college football fan, roots for chaos. You have your team, and then you root for chaos. That's your second favorite team. And I was kind of curious just to see, right, like Florida State and the others receiving votes or something because of the fact that there's just not going to be enough teams for –
Yeah, so we're –
Actually, Florida State did make – we did make others receiving votes, by the way. Six more than SMU, Mississippi State, Air Force, Northwestern, and UAB, but behind wow. – tied with Navy. Tied with Navy.
Mike Leach and getting any love in Mississippi State.
Not yet, no. Virginia, TCU, Cal all getting more votes. Indiana getting more votes than the Seminoles this year. App State as well. But, you know, no one has explained this to me, what this is going to look like going forward. And the thing we loved about it and that we hated about it was that it created this narrative, right? This, like, sense of what the season is supposed to be like.
Helps you prioritize, yeah.
Well, this is even worse because we actually had a chance to get more teams that are playing this year into some sort of preseason poll, and then it's going to be like, oh, wow, Navy's undefeated, but they weren't even ranked at the beginning of the year. But we had nine teams that aren't playing ranked. It just blew my mind.
They have time. I'm asking. I don't know. They have time to release another one edited, if you will, just with the teams.
They
right?
had time to release an edited one and not release
yeah,
this
but
one.
These sports we guys knew, are idiots right now.
We I knew mean, 2 weeks ago that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 weren't playing. 2 weeks ago. I'm just blown away. A couple of writers actually released what would be their top 25.
Oh, play a little background college tune for me.
Okay. I'll throw it in there. Here we go. Stuart Mandel did his earlier today. I believe he did. Let me see. Maybe not. Oh, no. Well, I
was going to say, if not, Scott, you give me your top 25 right now. Name them all.
I'll give you my. Well, you know who I know did it, and it was Brett McMurphy. He did it, and I'm pulling his up right now. But he was like, hey, listen, here's my top 25 adjusted. So he has Clemson number one, which is actually how the AP went anyway. But Ohio State was number two, so he just bumped up Bama. Here's the thing. All right, so really out of the top 10, you lose three teams. There's not a ton of shakeup there. It's really at the bottom of the poll that you're going to see some things. Virginia, he had ranked 25th. I just told you Virginia had seven votes in the top 25. He had TCU, Baylor in his, Kentucky, and App State. So those are some of his ones that didn't actually make it. And Louisville, by the way, who also were not ranked in the preseason top 25.
Louisville got ranked?
Yeah.
Man, that's it surprising.
Well, 32 votes.
I know it's adjusting, but adjusted. That's still.
Put nine other teams in there.
Yeah.
Who else are you going to put? Here's your others receiving votes. Which of these would you put in over Louisville? Here's your top nine other receiving votes. Memphis, Virginia Tech, Boise State, Arizona State, Miami, Louisville, App State, Washington, Kentucky, Indiana, Baylor.
Miami's receiving votes?
42 of them.
I'll tell you right now, I'll take, you said Memphis.
Yeah, I like
Brady.
That.
Brady White returning. Yeah, they lost Mike Norvell. They'd keep a lot.
But continuity with the on-staff hire.
Yep, continuity with the on-staff hire, who a lot of people liked. In fact,
Ryan
Mike Norvell liked him so much, he tried getting him to.
Yeah, what's his name? Ryan.
He's a Bulls kid.
Yeah,
he actually is a Bulls kid.
There unlike, you go. Unlike Cal Ripken, Chipper Jones Jr. the third.
Yeah, well, they're related somehow. Yeah, I would take Memphis. I really would. Not just saying that because of Mike Norvell. Those guys were all competitive. They were developed well, and they did lose two receivers to the draft. So Memphis, I'd take. God, Miami with Derek King is interesting. They just lost Gregory Rousseau, thankfully, at DN. He opted out this season. Yeah. But they got Quincy Roach, DN transfer from Temple. Probably take Miami, unfortunately, but they're just so poorly coached. Who else? I like Satterfield at Louisville. I really do. I want to say that.
Yeah, I think he's going to get that. And they've got the QB I think they want. It's just
and their
a
running
of,
back is a badass. Number 10. What is his name?
I don't know. I'm rusty here. I've got a.
I know.
We'll I haven't read up. My we'll, athlon this year. I mean, I'm out of practice.
We'll shake off the rust in a week or so. But
well,
yeah, there's a couple other teams. Yeah. I mean, I see your point. The point is, he had to make something happen, and he obviously likes Satterfield a lot.
Yeah. Well, we're just over a week out from college football season starting. We're 2 weeks from today. Right, 2 weeks from today, we'll actually have a nationally televised Monday night college football tilt on ESPN, 8 o'clock, the midshipmen of the United States Naval Academy and the Cougs of Brigham Young University going head-to-head, real, honest-to-God football on a national television stage 2 weeks from as we sit here and record this. And that feels just baffling to say, honestly.
It doesn't seem real. I haven't allowed myself to accept that the season is actually going to happen, even though I've been beating the drum that it will happen. I keep telling you there's going to be a form or fashion of football once I realized that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 were gung-ho on it. I was like, there's nothing stopping them. They might have to cut back and come up with some protocols on the fly, but there's nothing stopping these guys from putting a product out there. What?
What's the term we've used this whole time? Cautious optimism.
Yeah, we've had it.
Yep.
But I've been so cautious with the optimism that I literally have
Alex
allowed
hasn't taken
the calendar.
He hasn't taken it out of the plastic wrap yet. Like he doesn't want to damage this thing.
No. The calendar, it's like a couch that you just leave the plastic on. You're like, that thing is sweet, but I don't really want to sit on it all the way because I might mess it up. So I'm scared to say it. I'll jinx it. But
I realized
the calendar to flip days, flip months, flip freaking months. And now we're right there. We're on the eve of football. And I'm like, I'm forgetful of it. I don't even realize it. because I have not allowed myself to buy in yet, and it's happening.
We have a week left in the month of August.
Where did this year go? This whole coronavirus has been an absolute trip.
Well, yeah, it's one of those. It's the longest, fastest year of our lives. If that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, it makes sense. Each day is a year, and each year's a day. It feels like, or the year's been a day.
Speaking of football, the Florida State Seminoles released late last week. And this is an era, right, where we're just hoping that we're going to have games. And anytime you see that somebody might say that they're going to not only play, but maybe play in front of fans. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens came out on Monday and said they're going to start the year without any fans at home games. And I wouldn't be surprised if more NFL teams followed suit. But for now, several colleges are still planning on having people, just obviously severely reduced numbers. And Florida State, I think, became the first major university I've seen to publicly come out with a tailgating plan. A tailgating plan in the era of COVID. Can you imagine what this is like, Alex?
It's a big damn deal, Scott.
It is. For college football, for football in general, tailgating is, it's as much a part of the game as the game itself, I feel like.
I'd agree with that.
I don't think I've gone to a football game in person without tailgating in, I don't know, it's been years. I sometimes go and tailgate and don't go to the game. Like, it's that kind of a thing, right?
Yep.
All right, let me read to you some of these rules. And some of them.
Please do. I saw the announcement come through, and my first thought was, really?
Yeah, what?
And how? Like, what are we doing, and how are we doing it? It just kind of blew my mind. But I never read the guidelines because it's just, I can't make it. I'm not going to be over at Tallahassee for a game, so it didn't affect
me. Well, I think you can probably look at these and assume that several other universities and maybe even professional squads will adopt very similar ones. So the parking lots are just flat out not going to open up as early. Usually it's 5 hours before a game. They're going to open 3 hours before the game. They're just trying to cut down on the numbers. Yep.
Like I can't get roasted and toasted in 3 hours.
Well, you know.
You can make it.
Watch me try.
Yeah. No, people will try. That's what I'm saying. Three is plenty of time.
Patrons limited to individual tailgates at their own spaces. So there's no mixing and matching, mingling, wandering from tailgate to tailgate. Like if you, me, Ashley, and Beckett go tailgating, like we're popping the trunk and we've got to hang out just together.
Yeah. I mean, okay, in theory, how do you police? That's my first question.
Great question. Yep. How about this one for the next one? Speaking of things that are difficult to police that are probably a nice follow-up to that last piece. All attendees asked to maintain the 6-foot social distancing standard.
Oh my God.
Between tailgate areas and for individuals outside of your group. So if you're inside your group, inside your individual tailgate space, it's like your bubble, right? I guess. But anybody else, if they wander in perhaps, they better at least stay 6 feet away.
Okay.
Encouraged to wear face masks, all patrons, when traveling through parking lots as well as socializing. The first part of that, I can understand that one, right? Like you're walking, like that, we're doing that more and more each day normally anyway, right? The socializing aspect, it's just I just can't see that happening. Like, how are you eating, drinking, and socializing? It's the same thing as a restaurant at that point. You're just standing in a parking lot.
Yep. Yeah, these are all impossible to police.
Seminole booster members who qualify for parking will receive their printed home passes via email. So that stuff just has to do with how you're doing. Here's the quote from Athletic Director David Coburn. We're glad to be able to offer tailgating to our fans for the 2020 home football season, and we realize that it is an important part of the game day experience for many ticket holders. Very true. Just as it is with many things in our society during this pandemic, we ask that our donors take responsibility for adhering to the tailgating guidelines and make good decisions for the safety of our community so that we can continue to move forward with a safe football season. If we, as a Seminole family, cannot create a tailgating environment that protects the health and safety of each other, it may be necessary to revisit this approach. So my follow-up question to that is, Alex, is tailgating banned by week 3 or 4?
Oh, it definitely three or earlier.
Over/under on the tailgate banning.
Three you or gotta, earlier. If the goal is to get football, and that's not to say someone can't go park in a lot that allows it. It's just these are on campus spots. So a lot of the people that
right outside Doak. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying tailgating won't happen, but I don't think Florida State should have allowed it on campus. They could have just said, hey, listen, you know, y'all are allowed to come. You're allowed to park. We're not going to have any tailgating.
That would have been a better mood, I think, in my mind. At this point, it's a liability aspect. Like, that's if you're a university, it's like, why even?
And you have to put out public porta potties for people.
Like you said.
A lot of touch points.
The people that are going to do it are going to find a way to do it. You might as well just be like, that's not our responsibility anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all can park up at the Civic Center. It's off campus.
Yep.
We'll sell ticket. You still sell for parking. We'll do every other spot in that area, but you're off campus. That's your responsibility. But on campus, sorry, we're just not doing it this year, you know?
Now that's like, heck, man. I know that it's kind of a crazy thing and money wise and all, it doesn't make any sense, but wouldn't it be kind of cool actually if like going forward, it was like an every other, like spot. Instead of a parking spot next to you, that was your tailgating space. Like instead of, you know, bleeding out into the roadway where it's so like people packed, are driving through and it's a mess. Like, it's like, here's your parking spot and here's your tailgating spot. Like that'd be kind of nice actually.
That'd be awesome. It really would. There's just, I mean, when you
just lose half your revenue that way.
Right, and that's a problem.
Based off of, the fact that there are college athletic departments across the country that are still cutting sports at in a way to try and save some money. Yeah, no doubt that's going to be a problem. Would you tailgate this year? I mean, I'd probably like tailgate with some buds at home and then like...
Yeah.
If I was a student... And here, this leads to a bigger issue because, right, this is what we're seeing right now with the student partying and stuff that's led to these spikes everywhere. In fact, at Ohio State, 300-plus students got student code of conduct violations this past weekend. Like, there are some universities that are actually cracking down on the fact that, like, they might start suspending students for throwing parties, which is, wow.
Yeah.
We have, I kind of get it. It's crazy. It feels like a lot, but at the same time, as great as it is to sit there and be like, for the greater good, for your common man, let's join it. Like, people just don't do that. People are selfish. So they're like, hey, I want to have a good time. And they're going to have a good time.
And, you know, you don't think it's going to affect you until it does. And as a young student, I mean, these guys, we talked about this way back when.
When you're a college kid, you're an idiot.
Right.
We were all idiots when we were in college. Yeah, I didn't think. We thought we were sort of invincible.
Scott, would I ever have quarantined? Not quarantined, like self-isolated me and my roommates at the house. I would have been bored in 3 hours. Back then, all we did is socialize. You hung out with a buddy or this girl or that girl. You went to this bar. You went to dinner here. And then you went.
That was the best part of college. I mean, I'm glad I got an education
in college. Yeah, you go to college. Yeah. I mean, you go to class for 2 hours a day.
I'll tell you this. I remember the social aspects of college way more than I remember what I was doing in class in college. And
no comment.
I mean,
I agree.
It was just, that's what it is. And that's what, it sucks. Well, let me go ahead and say that. I mean, I don't have to say it because everybody knows it, but it would be so hard to be in college, which is arguably the four best. No, I won't say arguably. I think without a doubt, it's the four best social years of your life.
Easily.
Like,
because everyone is in your age range.
And you have all sorts of common interests. You can find people. And you're not a gawky teenager anymore like you were in high school. Like, you're starting to figure out who the heck you are. And like, you're able to kind of find yourself. And to have a lot of that taken away because of something that is completely out of like, that is nature.
Control,
That is nature. Like, it's brutal. Like, we just want to find us.
Let's go back to your question of, would I tailgate this year? And the answer is, if I was a student, I'd tailgate this year. And I'd go to someone's tailgate. I probably wouldn't host a tailgate. You know, I don't know how it would be. Something outdoors.
I need like a straw that snakes into the mask. And I'm just like, It's like the beer hat, right? Like the hat you wear with the beer.
Yeah, that's what everyone needs.
Everybody needs something.
A scuba mask. Yeah. A scuba mask. That'd solve it right there. Think about it. If you had a big scuba tank that you could refill beers into.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We encourage.
I would tailgate if I was a college student. As of right now, no. It doesn't appeal to me at all. I'll have you over to grill out, though, if you want. You know, like I'm at this stage, I'm comfortable doing that. I'm having to go to work meetings. I'm seeing people. I try and be as smart as I can, but I'm not going to go to a huge social event like an outdoor tailgate. You know,
it's about playing the percentages, right? Like the percentage is that me, one individual coming over to your house and infecting you, if I feel fine, is low. But if you go into a giant group of people you don't all know, then right. Yeah. That's where things increase significantly. But I'm with you. I just don't see this at least seminal sanctioned going on long term. And it surprised me a little bit when I saw it, but amazing stuff. I'm curious for the pro stuff because I feel like they're going to try, like Kansas City's going to try and make this happen, right? Like Jacksonville's going to try and make this happen somehow.
Yep. Yeah.
But what is that going to look like? Who knows? Who knows? I'm just excited that we are one step closer. We have, you know, we got NBA on, we got baseball on, we've got football coming back, and it's not perfect. We knew it was never going to be perfect, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I just want to watch a football game with you, man. Like that's,
I need it so bad. Well, the good news is we do have baseball. We do have basketball. We got a lot going on. Football's right around the corner. This cautious optimism that we talk about, it's worked. It's paying off. And we're close, Scott. We're close. But, you know, I'm just looking at the Lakers here, blowing the Blazers out. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. There's a lot going on. And if football can go on as scheduled, all will feel relatively right in the world.
No doubt. Well, he's cautious, Alex. I'm optimistic, Scott. And what do you say we put a wrap on this week's episode and we'll get one step closer to football season?
That's right. Well, guess what? Next week, as we inch closer to football season, we're going to have a football geared episode. I'm very excited for that.
With a guest.
I was going to say a very special guest that we're very excited to, to not only talk to, as that interview hasn't happened yet, but debut and pick his brain on some football experiences. Maybe. Did he play? I don't know. Tune in next week and find out.
Played a little bit more than me. We'll just say that. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another cautiously optimistic episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.